I'm here in Clondalkin and I'm talking to Peter Connolly. Peter, tell me first about your time in the mills. When did you first go in?
I started in June 1960 on the building section. I spent a number of years on the building section until the then production manager called Sean Carroll called me inside into the factory for an interview to become a permanent employee of the paper mills. See, at that time, the people employed on the building section were only temporary as such. So obviously, he must have got some good reports from the man in charge of the building section, which is a man called Tom McGovern. So I went in, I had an interview with Sean Carroll, and I think it was the following day I started as a permanent employee in the mill.
And were you there right up to the end?
I was there up to the time it closed. The big close in 1980, Tommy, was it? I was there, I was 81. I was there till then. Like when I started off in the mill just as actually sweeping the floor. That was my job, was to sweep the floor, keep the place tidy and do all the various things, but no actual mechanical work on the machines, only heavy lifting, etc., etc. One thing that Sean Carroll said to me, that he used to bring people from other areas of the factory to come up and look at the area that I was in charge of keeping clean. And he used to say to them, look, this is the way I would expect to see your department as this man has his. Well, after a number of years, then I got a job as first assistant on one of the paper machines. I then progressed to second assistant on the same machine. And then after maybe 10 years or more, a vacancy came up for a production foreman. Now, normally the production foreman would be filled from the top grade on the machine, i.e. the machine, the machine man as such. He was the top man. Mm-hmm. Several of those applied for the job, and just out of pure maybe diplomat, I applied for the job myself. Now, I was quite good at the job that I had. Like, I knew it was good. But I never was officially a machine man as such. But I knew and had filled in numerous times for absenteeism. I considered myself that I knew everything about paper making.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. But anyway, after a number of weeks, my application got in for the production foreman's job. I was called for an interview, and lo and behold, I got the job. Much to the disapproval of all the other machine men who were a step above me.
Oh, that's you must tell me more about that.
Yeah, there's a bit of what would you call it? A bit of jealousy. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
Obviously. The main person doing the interview was Sean Carroll. I mean, Tom O'Neill was the production manager, wasn't
yeah.
They obviously thought it was more reliable than the other candidates because I wasn't a heavy drinker. Some of the others were, and their absenteeism was Monday. Phone call, first thing, we knew who it was. It won't be in Friday when they got paid. They go missing as well. The only reason some of them didn't get the job was because they were unreliable. And becoming the production foreman, you were automatically on the staff and you were paid for whether you're in work or out of work. So these people started running a good thing, get this job, and they could take 2 or 3 days off and they still have a week's wages at the end of it. But lo and behold, I don't know if that's the reason why they didn't get it, but I got it anyway. And remained there until it closed in the same position.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So, can you tell me where does it all start? The Connolly family were from where originally?
Well, my father came from Ballyfermot on the Turlough colleges. It's on the Killeen Road. It's a number of colleges as you go past the old Semple factory that's now closed down. You pass the recycling yard on the left. And the first row of single-storey cottages It's the very first house. That's where my grandmother lived. Now, I couldn't be sure that my father was born there.
Yeah.
But his brother was there up to, say, 5 years ago when he passed away. But my father then, when he moved from there, he started to work in the Weatherwell in Clondalkin. I'm not sure if you know where it is. It's besides Clamburris. It's in the state now at the moment. Tommy would know where the Weatherwell is.
What was he doing there?
He was driving a crane. You know, filling the soil up with sand and whatever the mixtures were going in for tile making.
Yeah.
And plasterboard and that. So he was there until, I'd say, the late 50s. And then he got a job in the Dock and Paper Mills.
What was he doing in the mills?
He was a maintenance helper, helping fitters, you know, with all the heavy lifting and all that class of stuff. But eventually, I had come home from England. I'd been in England for a number of years, and I was unemployed. And he spoke to a man called, he was the maintenance superintendent there, a man called Barney Fitzpatrick. He was overseeing the building, as well as the general foreman was there, about the possibility of me getting a job. And after a week or so, I got a job in the building.
Oh, was that straight after school?
Oh, no. I was 20 at the time. I was 21 when I started in the mill, 21 years of age. But before that, I had several jobs before that. I was in England for 3 years. I'm not saying what I was doing, but I was over there. I don't want everyone to know like, what I was doing. But I worked in the Irish Times for 3 or 4 years as a runner up and down to the courts, you know, for copy, for the next edition, and delivering proofs to various companies, the likes of Jacobs, Elbridge, Clearys, all those.
I see. So, in fact, you were in a still working with papers, I suppose.
I'm still working. Yeah.
But I suppose at that time, was it good to get a job inside in the mills?
Well, the way I think most people around looked at it, there was two good jobs in Dublin. One was Guinness's and the other was Clondalkin Paper Mills. That's why I firmly believe in that myself.
Yeah.
That it was a privilege to get a job there. After I came home from England, I had set qualifications and I tried to get into Guinness's. But obviously I didn't know anybody there that could push my CV up. Even though I deemed there was an asset to anyone that was prepared to employ me. But luckily enough, I got the job.
It helped to have your dad in there.
Oh, it did. Oh, yeah. But that was the thing. If you knew somebody.
Yeah.
Like the reason I got the job in the Irish Times was I used to do some caddying on Newell's Golf Club. And I met a man there called Danny Campbell, who was production manager in the Irish Times, and he never employed a caddy during his golf round, but he came to me one day and asked me would I like a job in the Irish Times on Westmoreland Street. I said sure, I'd have to think about it, and mentioned to my parents, because at that time I was going to Lucan Vocational School.
Yeah.
And the father said to me, well, it's really your own decision, but if I was you, I would take it, because when you come out of tech, there's no guarantee of a job in any trade, unless you knew somebody. If your father was a fitter and you came out, say, Luke and Tech or anywhere at all, no problem of you getting an apprenticeship as a fitter or electrician, even though other people that had been in the same school were far more clever academically than you. You could have the lowest grades and still get the apprenticeship. But nowadays, you know, that's all changed now.
So it was following your father's footsteps.
My father was a labourer.
You were going to be
I was going to be a labourer, yeah. And the strange story, that when I was in Lucan Technical School, there was, the headmaster there was called Mr. McKeown, who lived here in Palmerstown. And he used to say to me, Connolly, and he'd say, yes, sir, what do you want? And he said, Connolly, when you leave here, you're going to end up behind a mixer. You know, that's it's a metal mixer. And the first real job I got as an adult was behind a mixer on the building side into the open pavements.
I would imagine there was quite a number of second and even third generation workers inside in the mills.
Oh yeah, yeah. It really, if anything happened there at all, a close down or a strike, there was a lot of families were badly affected, because not only a father, there was sons, daughters, brother-in-laws, you know.
And were you there when your father was in there?
Were you in the mill when your father was there? Yeah, my father was there until the big strike in 1966.
Yeah.
I remained on there, even though I was living here at the time. I remained on during the picket duty for the 16 weeks that it lasted. But my father, he had a fairly big family, and he couldn't afford just to survive on
strike pay.
So he was offered a job. The man that he was helping in Clondalkin Paper Mills got a job as a fitter in Clondalkin Concrete. And lo and behold, he was able to bring my father with him.
I see, yeah.
So that finished his stint with Clondalkin Paper Mills.
So can you tell me then, you're living here in Palmerstown.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were brought up in Clondalkin.
Well,
am I right in saying that?
I was in various places. Initially, I was born in Lucan.
Yeah.
Born in Lucan and baptised in Lucan. We lived for a short period in, I think it was rented accommodation, or sharing a house in Ballyhone Lane in Lucan. Then we moved to a small cottage on the Lucan Road called Esker Cottage. There for a number of years. There was only a child at the time, there was only vague memories. We then spent another period as a lodger with people called Rose on, they live on the station road. I know the opposite Clumburris, or not Clumburris, yeah, Clumburris, yeah. No,
yeah,
I know where Manageri lives. That's Clumburris,
isn't
it?
Cottages, yeah.
Yeah, cottages there. Then my father got a job from the Wetherwell to a farmer over in St. Mark's. That is now, St. Mark's now is where Fountain Hill is and Liffey Valley, all that area there. That was all
the whole place has changed drastically.
Yeah, at that time there wasn't a house in the area.
Yeah.
He worked for that man for a good number of years, all hours, day and night, for little or no reward. Because that was shortly after the war, 1946-47, which you were lucky to have any sort of employment. Eventually he was offered a house from there, because the house was condemned because there was no heating in it. The cooking was only a bare range. The floor was a mud floor. And unfortunately my mother developed tuberculosis in the early 40s, consumption as they called it at the time, and died when I was only about 4 or 5 years of age in 1940. I'm not sure the exact date, but I can look it up, 43 or 44. My father then remarried. My eldest brother and myself remained in the cottage over on the farmland. My sister went to her an uncle in Ballyfermot, and my brother Jim, the youngest, he went to grandmother in Ballyfermot. These where the father originally came from. My father remarried a maid that was working for this farmer. She had two children there. That was six was all together. So eventually they would start building a house in Clondalkin, and he was offered a house on the Boot Road.
You were really farmed out, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, no, myself and my elder brother, we stayed with the father in the farmer's cottage. Now, we had to fend for ourselves, because the hours the father worked left him little or no time to take care of us. Now, we were supposed to go to school here in Palmerstown, myself and my brother, but we never went. We spent most of our time either mitching or again, as I said, this was shortly after war, 1944, 45, 46. We were working for farmers in the area of St. Mark's, now this is the moment, Neilstown.
Yeah.
We were working every hour that we could get for the Kerry farmers that were there, wheelings, sticking cabbage, picking potatoes, ringing mangels, tinning mangels, weeding, what have you. We were bringing in a few shillings. But anyway, say we never went to school. And any time we did show up in school, the headmaster down here would ask you, where were you two Connies for the last, say, 3 months? We were working for a certain farmer. No bother. We were ticked off. Maybe there was a concession for that thing anyway, but the same schoolmaster, only two in it, a lady and a man. Now, the lady, we heard about teachers being sadistic and that, but she was an out and out. You could be written away there at their copying, and she'd be stand behind you, and you know she was there, and she'd do nothing. Next minute, the ruler come around, across there, and we even smashed the nib, you know the old pens you used to use? You dipped it in the ink well, smashed the nib or whatever, and cut your knuckles and walk away. Every morning, as regular clockwork, there's a pub across the road from it.
Yeah.
The barman used to come over and say, Mr., I can't think of his name, maybe I shouldn't mention his name, but there's a phone call for you. And he used to go over, and you wouldn't see him for the rest of the day.
My goodness, yeah. What
amazed me about them days was how my brother and myself survived not being taken into care by, say, the likes of Dylan or Artane or somebody like that. Because all you wanted was the parish priest to get wind that you were running wild and you were off the street, and that was it.
What do you think saved you?
I don't know. I honestly, to this day, I don't know how we got away with it, because we were up to every bit of temperament you could think of. Between Robin Archer's, we lived opposite a farm, opposite what was called the Mount Street Club, which was for down and out male men, and they'd land like, full of vegetables, all descriptions. Yeah. We used to lick the stuff, bring it home, myself and my brother, clean it up and cook it for ourselves, because the father hadn't got time to do it. We'd make our own caboose or cuddle, whatever you call it. We used to catch rabbits, and we prepared them and put them into the pot of stew ourselves, and when the father came in from work, he said, God, that's a great smell, lads. What is it? A rabbit stew. And he'd get into it now, put those things, a knife and fork, there was a rabbit and belt away in it.
Right.
But I don't know how we weren't taken into care, because things to be done were outrageous. Like, my eldest brother, you know what he'd done one day for a joke, and he thought he was safe doing it. You know the railway tracks at Glendalkin? He lay between them when the train was passing by, and the train went over him. And never, nothing happened to him. He just got up and dusted off his clothes.
He did it as a dare.
As a dare, yeah. Just himself. There was never anybody with us as such, because in the area we were living, there was only one or two houses. I was only myself and Patsy, my brother, and another chap called McNeil that lived in the same area, that used to travel the road home from school. But we used to get it up to all classes of development. All classes.
So tell me, your mother died. Yeah. What was your mother's name?
Bridget.
Bridget what?
Connolly, our maiden name was Keohane. Not sure, I'd have to get the correct spelling of it. But she, I said, got consumption.
Yeah.
They moved her out of the house that we were all living in to a little small prefabricated thing beside the house, which we weren't allowed into. But eventually she got that bad that she was taken to the hospital, and I shouldn't think what sort of a death she had, because then there was no such thing as oxygen or ventilators or anything at all. She died in the main hospital, I think it was 44, 45.
Yeah.
But she, to try and relieve her breathing, what she used to do is she used to swallow spoonfuls of Vic, not the Vic, the vapor lobe, down into her lungs to try and help her breathing.
A Do you remember that time?
Oh, I do remember, I remember it.
And was she going through fierce
agony. She couldn't walk reach the door. And eventually, like I'm not sure, she collapsed or what. And she was in the hospital for quite a while. And then just one afternoon, the father came out and just said, your mother's dead.
Yeah.
That's it. So we didn't go to the funeral, we were too young. But he said, stand on the road at a certain time. And the house would be going by, which was a horse-drawn one, with the big feathers and all. And by our house and over to Esker. That's...
And that was the end of the
Then the mother remarried. It was okay for a while, but I would like to say the history of that, because it'd be unfair to her. She took on a lot, and she may not have been as kind as she could have been, but I wouldn't like to say anything about that.
That's fine.